When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Alrighty. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know this episode is coming at you late, but let me just tell you about my week, okay? We're not even starting off with the dad skit because I'm going to introduce the dad skit, but I need you to know that everything that happened with the dad skit happened to me this week, okay? So, all right, kids. I know that I told your mom I'd be able to take you like twice a week, all right? But daddy's just got a lot going on this week. I'm not going to hold you, all right? I'm not going to hold you here when I tell you this. Dad's been going through a lot of shit this week, all right? It's just been a lot. Okay, so I don't even feel like doing the dad skit. We're skipping the dad skit because right now I don't feel like being a fucking man right now, okay? I'm just going to tell you what happened to me this week. This week, I sat down bright and early in front of my, at the front where I normally record the podcast, where I normally have the podcast. As you may be able to see, we're in a new space today. Well, you're not able to see, but we are in a new space today. So I sit up front where I normally do my podcast, and my walls are thin as fuck, so I can hear every conversation that is happening on every other side of the world. So I'm trying to do it, and, like, I can hear, I don't know why, but on this day, my neighbor decided he wanted to sit on the stoop. He wanted to be a stoop kid. So he sat on the stoop and was just, like, listening to Instagram, and I could not record. I could not focus. I couldn't record. I recorded, like, a 30-minute podcast, and then I gave up on it because I was like, I'm not. I can't. Like, I'm already, like, I've lost the taste for this right now. So then I was like, okay, so let's just move our recording stuff into our little beauty room, our little closet. And I was like, let's do that. But then I was like, wait, I don't like where my vanity is, and I want to switch where my vanity is. So let's switch the vanity before we move our microphone and stuff in here. So I go ahead and I start moving my vanity around, and I have like the most ghetto rigged like IKEA vanity, like, you know, like the IKEA vanity hack. I did it, but I did not want to pay for the two Alex drawers, and I found these two wood drawers that look like the Alex drawers, but they weren't really the same size, so I got them and then I repainted them. Anyways, it looks cool, but like a little ghetto, just a little bit of ghetto. Okay, so I was like, I'm not in the mood to like deal with that right now. Okay, so I start moving my vanity around, and this freak accident happens, and it's just like freak accident after freak accident. I have a glass cup on my drawer. The glass cup ends up sliding off of the drawer. There's like a million things on this drawer. There's perfume bottles. There's a lot of stuff, and the only thing that ends up dragging off of the drawer is my glass cup. It falls off the drawer and it knocks over a bottle of hair oil that I had, and my floors already are slick as hell. There's no grip. That's why my dog does not like my apartment, because my fake ass wood floors have zero grip to them. So the hair oil is all over the place mixed in with glass, and I'm barefoot. I'm barefoot and I'm standing there and I'm like, okay. I grab a pair of heels from my shelf and I put them on, and I start cleaning up this oil. I start cleaning up this oil, this hair stuff on the floor, okay? Floor is slippery as hell. I'm scared. I have a bad knee. Okay, I'm scared. So I'm like, I clean it up and the floor is like, okay. And I'm like, great, all right, moving on. We can move on with our life. So then I go to the bathroom, and I don't even know how a drop of oil got on the bathroom floor, but it did. So I go to the bathroom, and when I go to stand up from using the toilet, my leg bends the wrong way, and I am just waiting for the inevitable snap. I'm waiting for the inevitable snap, and I'm terrified because I just know I'm going to break my knee. I'm going to break my knee in a terrible way. And I start thinking about how this is the worst time to break your knee. I have 2 exams this week. How I don't even know when I would be able to have surgery on my knee. Like, my life is flashing before my eyes. Like, the next 3 months with a broken knee are flashing before my eyes, like, so fast. And then I'm also thinking about the fact that my phone is nowhere near me and that I'll have to crawl, like, the final survivor to get to my phone. And that's, anyways, long story short, I dropped to the floor, I started screaming. I'm feeling my leg. It's okay. It's fine. My leg is okay. I just bent it wrong. So I get up and I put on, you know, some grippy socks, like the kind they have at the hospital, and I walk through my home. Okay. I did get some like swelling, so I've been icing it and stuff. So that happened. Next that happened is I'm starting to like get better with the mono. It's starting to go a little bit away. There's still a little bit of swelling, but we're working on it. But I decided that this week would be perfect for me to put an IUD in. Most painful thing that I have ever done in my entire lifetime was get an IUD put in. I almost passed out twice. And you know why I didn't pass out? The only reason why I did not pass out while getting this IUD put in was because I was like, this pain is awful, but you know what's worse? Having a child for 18 years plus that I didn't want, that I have to force myself to love and accept when I wasn't in the place to. That's worse. Generational trauma of putting it on my child is worse than getting this IUD put in. Being linked, stuck with a man that I would hate forever hurts more than getting this IUD put in. That was my resolve. I laid there and I took it like a champ. And like, it was really painful. Like, and you want to know what's crazy? I got the lidocaine topical, and I got the lidocaine shot, the local anesthetic, and that shit still fucking hurt. To think that there are providers that do not give like general anesthetic for that, for an IUD insertion, is actually insane to me and needs to be investigated. At one point, I'm in fucking nursing school, so you know my brain was just working overtime. At one point, I had a 3+ pulse, bounding pulse. My pulse, like, I could, my heartbeat, you could see that shit. My heart was going bump, 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 bump. And I was like, oh, I'm going to pass out. That's when I was like, I'm going to pass out. I had to lock in. I had to on that table, girl. I couldn't clench my asshole the whole time. That was the worst part. You're going through all this shit and you cannot clench your asshole because guess what? It's probably going to shoot that speculum out of you. And then you're stuck there even longer because you got to put that shit back in. Like, oh my God. It was such a battle of the wits. It was such a battle of like mental strength because like you can't flinch, you can't flex, you can't bring your fucking knees together to like hide, to like support yourself in this moment of true vulnerability because it's gonna take longer. You can, you're just gonna be on the table longer and it's not pleasant. It's not a place you wanna be. Like literally the amount of times that the lady, that the gynecologist, she was like, do you want to, no, I don't want to see nothing. Don't show me anything. I trust you. I read through the pamphlet. I read every line of the pamphlet. I read the whole thing. I even watched an IUD insertion video, okay, through the medical school. I saw it. I see everything. You don't have to explain anything to me. Just put it in there. At one point she was like, do you want to touch your strings? I said, is it going to take more than a second? She said, oh, you're trying to get this over with. I said, yeah, I am. I want this done. I want this over today. Okay. So we got that over with and oh my God, it was really fucking painful. And the worst part is not only is it painful, but it brings on your period early. Did you know that? when my primary care told me that she wanted to schedule it around the time that I would normally get my period because my cervix would be more open, I thought, great. Great, like less painful for me. My brain did not clock what that actually meant. It's like when you have sex right before your period and that will bring your period on immediately. If you want your period to come, just fuck. It's gonna happen right away. Yeah, this was the same thing. That fucking fisting that I got brought my period on right away. So now I'm cramping and I'm in pain. And I just got a lot going on right now, okay? And it's finals week. I got a fucking really complicated exam on Monday that I'm scared about. Okay, I finished one exam. I did really good on that. Like a period. Which that was like my first exam where like the mono brain had finally left me. And I was like, I'm smart. I knew I was smart. I've been feeling stupid this whole time. But I'm smart. I'm a smarty pants. I knew I was smart. My brain just wasn't working. My dog is so over this right now. She's in here with me and she's just like, can you shut? So now things are slowly, almost surely getting back to normal.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
The sun is so bright right now. It's actually a little bit insane. So things are slowly but surely getting back to normal. But yeah, so all of that, that's why I didn't do the podcast. I was just in pain. There was just too much going on. Okay. There was just too much going on. And honestly, should I be even doing the podcast right now? No, I really should be studying, but I'm like, I need to do something else besides think about patho right now. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do the podcast. There's actually been a lot on my mind, and we're going to get back to the IUD conversation because I told one of my friends that I got the IUD put in. And she was like, aren't you afraid of like all of that, you know, that hormonal stuff in your body, blah, blah, blah. Well, besides the fact that there's like three different kinds of IUD and I did not get the hormonal one because of the explicit reasoning that it was hormonal. I just don't want a child. I don't want a child right now. I want a child. Like, I feel like my greatest goal in life is to be a well-rounded mother. Like, I really want to be a mom, and I'm so excited about being a mom, but I know myself, and I know that if I am at a point where I am not ready to be a mom, where it could, you know, take my life apart, and it's with a partner that I'm not married to, that it's just some guy, I don't think I could get past that resentment. And honestly, I don't think that child's getting born. We're going to the clinic, okay? So that's just not something I'm interested in. I'm not interested in having a child just because. I'm not interested in that. I am not interested in having the acronym BM attached to my name. Like, I'm really not. I don't ever want to call anybody my baby daddy ever in my life. And I think the thing is, like, if we're going to be honest about it, I feel like realistically less than like 2% of pregnancies are planned. Like, if we're gonna really be honest about it, I don't know a single person that had a kid because they were trying to have a kid. There are some very stable people that I know that had children and they were like, yay, what a welcome surprise. I love this child. But I think I can only think of like one person that had a kid and was like actively like, all right, take the IUD out. It's time for the baby. Like, and they are so well-rounded. They enjoy being a mom so much that sometimes I'm like, are you okay? And they're like, this is the best. Like, I love my baby. I love my life. I love being a mom. Like, I was fully ready to deal with a kid that wants to throw shit on my face because that's what I want to deal with. And I'm like, when you want that, you want that. When you love something, you're willing to put up with a lot of the crazy shit because you wanted that. And you remember that. But like, if it's like something that you're like, yeah, I know I want kids one day. This is not like the perfect time, but it could be the perfect time. When you make all of these concessions to your plan to like move stuff up, to move stuff back, to shuffle things around to make things work, I still feel like that's not planned parenting. And I'm like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to have a single regret when I have my children. Like, I don't want there to be a single doubt in my mind that I woke up this day and I decided we're going to start trying to have for a baby today. Mind you, I'm not even married having this conversation, but I mean, I'm thinking about it. Okay. So it's like, I don't want to not enjoy motherhood. I don't want for my kid to not enjoy being a kid. I don't want so many things that come without planning. Like, I just don't want any of it. So anyways, I got this fucking thing shoved up my cooch because of that. And it lasts for 12 fucking years, which I'm like, I love science. That's crazy lasting for 12 years. And I thought about it and I was like, I would rather, tell me I need to go pick up my medication. I would rather, you know, be single, be able to fucking have fun and not get pregnant, but still wear protection because the streets is crazy. The streets is crazy, okay? It's a lot of new infections in the streets, girl. Syphilis is back. Syphilis took some time off, but syphilis is now back. Syphilis is showing her non-existent nose. She's back. Okay, so I, like, no, we're not doing that. Thank you. We're not doing that. Thank you. So, but I would rather have it in, not be worried about the fact that I need to get my degrees, okay? Knowing that I will not have a single interruption for the next couple years. Thank you. Thank you. And then, you know, I meet my beautiful husband who's so kind, who's like a fucking unicorn, who's loving, who doesn't have a drug problem, who doesn't have a gambling problem, because that's on the rise and it's crazy. Who loves me for me, who's like disgustingly rich, like who comes from like multi-generational wealth, like, you know, like, I can't wait to meet him. And then he's going to be like, I love you. I want to give you the world, even though you're a little bit mean to me, but that's what I like about you. Let's get married. And I'm going to be like, yes, let's get married. And then we're going to get married. And then we're going to be like married with no kids for like 2 years. By this time, I'm probably looking at my early 40s. I'm not even going to lie to you. I want to have kids when I'm 40. What? Beyonce's mom did it. My grandma did it. They were fine. Okay. I want to have kids when I'm in my 40s. Thank you. Thank you. Because I think that that is when I will, like, be mentally stable. You know? So, also there's a study that came out that was, like, yes, like, your body changes as you get older, but the quality of your eggs does not change as you get older. It's actually the quality of the sperm that changes, and that the holder of the sperm needs to be really careful about what they're putting in their bodies, because that makes the quality of the sperm. So, anyways, that being said, but yeah, I just don't want to have any surprises. That's really it. I don't want any surprises. I don't want to fake myself out of the potential of a beautiful life that I could have because someone's dusty son got me pregnant and I convinced myself that this is as good as time as any to have a child, and it's not. I'm not doing that. So that's why I got a piece of metal stuck up my cooter, and it hurt. And it's okay, because I'm dealing with it. It's too late. We're not taking it out now, okay? So anyway, so moving on to, so I know that like a while ago I had said like this would not be a dating podcast. It's not. This is a life podcast. This podcast is about life, but dating is a part of life, and there's some things that we need to fucking talk about. This whole Danish deception thing, the girl and her story about the Danish deception, the man that she married, I'm gonna be honest with you, I call bullshit on the entire thing. Okay, not bullshit in the fact that it didn't happen, not bullshit in the fact that whatever you think bullshit means. I just think we need to start taking accountability for our fucking actions at this point. I think we need to start looking in the mirror, looking at our very pale, unreasonably ashy eyebrows. And we need to be honest with the fact that if that was a black guy, she would have never let that shit fly. If it was a black guy, she would never let that shit fly. The proximity to whiteness was more important than your safety and your finances. And you just need to admit that. And that's okay. It's not okay, but it has to be okay for you to live with yourself. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to take a sip of my coffee. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this girl on TikTok came out with her Risa Tisa, which she thinks, a story about a guy that she thought was from royalty, was from a Danish royal family. He was not. He was a fucking chronic gambler, and he borrowed like $300,000 from her, her friends, and her family, and then he divorced her. And I think that he divorced her part is very important, because if that man did not break it off, she would still be in that situation and she would still be trying to make it work. Because at the end of the day, that man, whether she realized it or not, made her feel valuable because she was a dark-skinned black woman who had landed a tall, European, blonde-haired, blue-eyed man. And that perception of what that meant was way more important to her than her financial safety. She tried to set the story up as if she got scammed, but it's like, you can only scam the willing. You know, there are some real scammers out there, but you can only scam the willing. And I think that's the difference between the Risa Tisa story and this woman's story. From what I recall, Risa Tisa did not give that man a dime. And that's what I respect about that girl. She didn't give that man a dime. That man just promised her a whole bunch of stuff and he lied about everything. He was scamming himself. If we're being honest, he was scamming the fuck out of himself, but he was romantically scamming her. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can only be jostled around and like going through this, you know, manipulation for so long. Like, and that's what that man was doing to Risa Tisa, was like lying, coming up with a lie, like lying, falling back on the lie, like lying. Like, it's just like they take you on this whirlwind. But to be honest, Risa Tisa left with what she came in, which was her dignity and her fucking bank account, looking how it should, okay? And actually better, okay? This guy claimed he was from a royal family, but he couldn't, he needed like $50,000 for a real estate investment, which I'm like, why don't you tap into your fucking royals? Why don't you tap into your royals? Matter of fact, why don't you do a Ponzi scheme? If you're so well connected, you scam them. You scam them. Don't scam me. That's like one of the things that I think about often, okay? And I'm sorry to bring this back to one of the men that unfortunately I love a lot for multiple reasons and not because of the bad things that he did. Okay. I don't love him. Do I love him? No, I don't love him. I don't love Bernie Madoff. I know it's Bernie Madoff again. I don't love Bernie Madoff, but I think I am just so bewildered by the size of his scheme. Bernie Madoff is a psychopath in so many different ways. And I've mentioned Bernie Madoff on this podcast before. Please watch The Wizard of Lies. I'm tired of being the only young person, 30 years old, to know who Bernie Madoff is. I'm sick of it. I know we didn't have retirement investments, during that time, but I need you guys to know who Bernie Madoff is, because this man blows my mind, and I think about him every day. I think about him every day. I think about the conversations he had. I think about the people he tried to scam that saw through his bullshit. I think about the mathematician at the rival financial firm that kept saying Bernie Madoff is a liar, and nobody wanted to believe him because his bosses kept looking at him and said, Bernie's getting 15, 20% return on investment, and we're only maxing out 9. You need to do an algorithm. You need to figure out what Bernie is doing to get 15 to 21% return investment. And this poor guy is like, he's fucking cheating. Like, he's stealing money. There's no way. There's no math that I can do that can get us a 20% return on investment. His bosses were like, you suck. And, you know, at the end of the day, he ended up saving a lot of people. But Bernie Madoff caused a lot of harm to a lot of people. But if you're going to be in a situation with a man, okay, a man is never going to ask you for help. I need, blank field. Just life rules, ladies. Life rules right now. No man is ever going to ask you for help. I'm fucking serious. The only help that a man is allowed to ask a woman is emotional help. And they know this too. They will verify this. A man is never in their right mind. A real man never asks a woman for help. If a man asks you for help, for a favor, for anything, he has an ulterior motive. I'm so serious. If a man, if a man is on the side of the road and he asks you to help you fix his car, he's a serial killer. Done, blank, period. You're getting kidnapped. You're not making it home. If a man asks you for a ride, he's a serial killer. Point blank, done. You're not making it home. Okay? If a man asks you for money, he's poor. He doesn't have money. He's going into your bank account. You're getting scammed. If a man asks you to help him reorganize his closet, you're getting fucked. Like, whether he seduces you or he takes it, like, at the end of the day, he has an ulterior motive. Like, this is such a simple thing. If a man says, hey, can you help me real quick? Ulterior motive. Red light bulbs should be going off in your head. The sirens should be going, woo, 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 woo. The words, can you help me, should never come from a man's mouth to a woman. And that's not even me being on no, like, pink pill type stuff. Like, dead serious. Like, the only times, mind you, I have cousins that might as well be my brothers. I have male friends. The only time these men have ever asked me for help is, can you help me figure out this fucking problem real quick? Because I need to know if I'm crazy. That's like the only time they've ever asked me for anything. Dead ass. Mind you, I have asked them for the world and more. And they've given it to me, no problem. And I'm not saying this is a tit for tat, like, you know what I'm saying. But they've never thought to ask me for money, for, like, financial help, for anything. Like, if anything, they have gotten me out of so many binds. Like, to this day, I talk about it, how one of my friends is the reason why I am on this track of life. Like, because he saw me really struggling, and he was like, come to my house. Come stay with me for a month. Get your life together. Get your mind together. Get your mind right. Get everything right. No cost to you. Just look after my dog real quick. That's all. That man never asked me for a dime. That man never asked me for any favors. Like, are you getting what I'm saying? I'm so sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. One of the biggest issues also with this whole Danish deception story, when you are a pick me, you're always cheating yourself. You're never going to get picked. If you want to prove yourself to a man, you already fucked up. You want to prove to him you're not a gold digger? Incorrect. Show him you're a gold digger. Let him know you're a gold digger. You're a gold digger. You like to dig for gold. If there's gold in the vicinity, would I not be crazy to not dig for that gold? Like, what is going on? Like, her wanting to, like, prove that she was in it for love. No, 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 no. Love is so fickle. Love is real. It is tangible, but it is fickle. You can love anybody. You can love a 90-year-old man. I'm dead serious. You spend enough time with that 90-year-old man, he starts looking right and tight, girl. I'm so serious. And I think love is one of the greatest scams that we have ever been sold. And I believe in love, mind you. I believe in love. I do. I'm not saying that love doesn't exist. I am saying it exists. I'm saying it exists in many and different true forms. But the fact that so many women put love above their sexual health, their physical health, their mental health, their financial health, so many women just max out the credit card of love, thinking that it's gonna fix every other problem. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, you just as quickly as you can get love, you can throw it away. And just as quickly as you can give your love to somebody, they will happily throw it away when it doesn't serve them anymore. When you fall for somebody, you are doing a danger to the marriage contract that you've set up. Okay? When you get married, you're setting up a marriage contract. No, you don't have a dowry. No, you're not uniting two kingdoms, but technically you really kind of are. Like, when you get married, you are signing a business document that is held and binded by the law. If marriage wasn't that important, if marriage wasn't that detailed and extreme, you wouldn't have to fucking go to court for it. Like, that's the stuff that really blows me, because people really think, like, it's a fun little game, and it's not. It's really not. You're signing a legal document when you get married. And the fact that you're doing that with somebody that you've only known like 6 months is crazy to begin with. Imagine you build a multi-billion dollar business and you meet somebody, and just because you vibe well, just because, you know, they make you come, you're gonna tie your multi-billion dollars worth of assets to their potential $1 million worth of assets. That's really kind of crazy. That's really crazy. And I don't think enough women view themselves as such an asset. Like, it boggles my mind, and it bothers me a little bit, because it makes me feel like a lot of us have fallen for the bullshit. Like, whether we believe in ourselves or not, in our value or not, a lot of women, like, still have this need to be the cool girl, this need to prove that they're not, you know, money hungry, that they're not thirsty. What's wrong with wanting to be confident about your future? What's wrong with wanting to have a stable life? Like, God forbid you don't want to argue about finances. God forbid you want a safety net. Like, God forbid you want to be able to be taken care of. And, like, I can't wrap my mind around a lot of it. Like, this girl, her biggest issue, honestly, isn't even about money. Her biggest issue is about the fact that she's Black. She doesn't like being Black. She wishes she was white, you can tell. And that's true for a lot of Black women. And I'm not going to shame them, because your experiences really influence that trail of thinking. But, okay, there is... I'm trying to think of how to say this, because this is something I've thought about, but I've never, like, really gone into. Okay. The person you marry determines your social contract. This is very true, you know? That's why Tom Brady married Gisele Bündchen, okay? That girl, in marrying this blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man, was probably thinking about... Well, not probably, but she was, at a very deep level, thinking about what that meant for her social contract. If she didn't air out her dirty laundry, if he had not divorced her, which is the only reason why she's speaking about this, if they were still married, she would still be raking in the benefits of what that looked like via the social contract. I'm not going to hold you. That's why a lot of black men marry white women. They think they're elevating themselves in the social contract, but the only social social thing that they're elevating themselves in is amongst other black men, because, you know, we're not even going to get into that. But my thing is, if as a woman you're going to do that and you're going to really put a high regard on the social contract, you need to make sure that the man is not a fucking scammer. You need to do the least of your due diligence, because looks can only get you so far. Like, that man being white and blonde-haired and blue-eyed, that privilege can only get you so far. The privilege of him appearing rich can only get you so far. At some point, you have to cough up real money. At some point, you have to cough up real money. And if that point hadn't come yet, money, real money's gonna be coming after you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just go after, like, half of the package. Like, you need to go after the full package. Like, and I know she thought she was, but the signs were there that you weren't. But she was so caught up on the optics of what that man meant, that she could land a man that looked like that, that, you know, she and Taylor Swift are going neck and neck for Calvin Harris's lookalike. When she was so consumed with the thought of that, that she just overlooked all the other red flags. And it's like, if you're gonna put yourself ahead by putting such an emphasis on how the looks of a man, what that can get you out of society, because, you know, people are stupid. Like, they see a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, and they're like, oh yeah, that's, I'm gonna give him the world. If you're gonna put all of your eggs into that basket, you should be doing that because you are a self-preservationist. You should be doing that because you are inherently selfish. That's why you should be doing that. You should be doing that because you're watching after your back first. But for you to not, you're not really even watching after yourself. Like, you're not, you don't have a safety net for yourself. You don't have, I don't know. Like, you really didn't care about yourself. Like, I don't know. Like, the plan did not run deep enough. Like, the scam did not go deep enough. Like, I don't know. I have a whole lot of thoughts about stuff. Oh, well, obviously, that's why I have a podcast. But I'm like, if you're gonna marry rich, you need to marry rich. If you're gonna marry white, you need to marry white and rich. Okay? If you're going to marry to social climb, you need to make sure you're getting to the top of the ladder. And my thing is, I'm never gonna shame a woman for doing any of these things. I'm never gonna do that. Because we know that no matter how far we as women get in this society, what is that, honestly? Because we know that no matter how far we get as women in this society, men are always going to try to tear it down. Like, they are. And we see that now. Like, I don't even want to hear that that's bullshit, because there is a big reason why the Department of Education has come out. I need to hide from the sun. There's a big reason why the Department of Education has come out and said that nursing is not a professional degree. They've come out and said that engineers are not a professional degree. If you look at the list of all of the degrees that they say are no longer professional degrees, these are degrees that in the next 10 years are chock full of women and black women. Like, they want to be, and they outlined this in Project 2025. They want women to go home. They want women to be at home and to, you know, be homemakers and to be subservient to men. They talk about this very openly, mind you. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is your real life. And so many people, so many young people, like, and it really irritates me. Like, I am 30 years old, sure, but I have read. I am well read. I am well, I've listened. I don't have to live through something to live through something. I don't have to go through it to learn what you learned by going through it. you know? And a lot of people don't understand that concept. A lot of people think that this life is this life and this life is always how it's gonna be. And it's like, no, this life wasn't even always this life. Like, that's why I got so peeved when that Haley batshit girl, she was like, oh, I don't wear condoms. Like, girl, shut the fuck up. Like, it wasn't that long ago that, first of all, you didn't have a choice but to have sex with your husband. It wasn't that long ago that there was no such thing as marital rape, okay? It wasn't that long ago that gay people were dying at such heavy numbers from contracting HIV and other STDs that literally entire communities were wiped out. Like, there are some, if you talk to elder gays, if you talk to your elders in the gay community, they will literally explicitly tell you how they are some of the last surviving members of their group of friends. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine when COVID came around that all of your friends from school died, everybody on your soccer team died, and you were the last surviving member? And can you imagine then doing the work to help people get vaccinated, to get people vaccinated, and then some little dumbass influencer gets on the internet talking about how being vaccinated is not that important and how she loves the thrill of not being vaccinated? That is like, go ahead and just spit in these people's faces. Like, go ahead and spit in their faces. Like, I was so peeved at that because, like, one of the most insane photographs I've ever seen is the photograph of the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. And there's people dressed in white, there's people dressed in black. I can't remember which color it is, but one of the colors represents all of the people that died during the AIDS crisis and all of the ones that survived. And another color represents all of the ones that survived. And the difference is astonishing. It is mind-blowing. It is mind-bending. Like, people really don't understand, like, the chaos, like that fear that you felt during COVID, how terrifying that was. Imagine that, but you're secluded, you're alone. The government turned its back on you fully. Trump tried to do that, but the government turned its back on you fully and said, you deserve this because you're gay. Like, that shit really, 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 really blew my mind. And it's like, this affected everybody. This affected gay people, straight people. It affected women whose husbands were DL. It affected, you know, it affected a lot of people. It affected the poor a lot. It affected the middle class. It affected the rich. And that's when it really started getting some traction, was when the rich started getting affected, as per usual. And you know, like, that's just one thing, but it's like, you weren't always able to just go to the clinic and pick up some condoms. You weren't able to do that. It is because of those people's sacrifices that you are able to do such things. So for you to be so ungrateful and for you to, you know, not really think about the picture, the larger picture of what it means to exist in your society as a woman, as somebody who has the privilege of being sexually healthy, like, for you to not think, and I swear to God, all this stuff ties in together. I'm sorry. I feel like sometimes I'm like a crazy person just going on like this long ass tangent, but it's like, for you to not think about every day when you wake up, first of all, you need to thank God that you're still here, because that's not a privilege a lot of people get, whether you believe in God or not, whatever, it's up to you. You need to thank somebody that your feet touched the ground today. But also, number two, you cannot live your life and not think about the people that really lost a lot for you to be where you are. That includes the gay people that had to pass away for me to get an IUD shoved up my fucking cervix. For free, mind you. Okay? That includes the women that were not allowed to get fucking credit cards or to go to the bank and buy a house because they had to have a husband to do that in the 70s, which honestly was not that fucking long ago. I know we love to think that it was a million years ago. It wasn't. Like, the woman that got beat up during the New York City Marathon because she had the audacity to force herself to run 24 miles and some men tried to beat her up for it. Like, when you go into your life on the daily and you go and you interact with men, I need you to think about these things. And yes, love exists. I'm not saying love doesn't exist. It does. It really does. But can you afford love? Truly. Can you afford that? Can you afford to have a baby out of love? Can you afford that? Can you afford to be so optimistic as to think that the culture that we are in is not grooming young men to be the absolute worst that they can be? You can afford it. And I want you to still believe in it and to have hope in it. But I cannot, in good conscience, allow you to be blind to the other side of things. Okay? Believe in love. Believe in goodwill. Believe in all of that stuff with a healthy dose. With a healthy dose of suspicion. Okay? A healthy dose. Just a little healthy one. Wow. That episode, I don't know what that was. I think I just had some things I need to get off my chest. Thank you for listening to me. Haven't had a rant like that in years. Kind of felt good. I don't know. Okay, bye.